Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Tom.
Welcome to the podcast.
You don't have to dress up for me. You still have your jacket on?
Well, I was a little chilly, and, you know, it's freezing cold here in L.A. today. It is March, and winter is not letting go at all.
It's rained
brutal,
for 2 days.
59 degrees.
People are jumping off of buildings. It's rained for 2 days.
59 degrees. Partially sunny. People are just at their wits' end. So I needed to throw something on. I just have coats in different places. So it's a little bit of a blazer. I don't feel like I'm trying to intimidate you. Being dressed like a businessman, but maybe the podcast needs a little upper class refinement.
No, because you know this week is my transition into the island mentality.
Oh, that's right.
I'm getting rid of everything, Tom. All flip flops and Hawaiian shirts, and
that's all you're going to be left with.
Bucket hats.
Oh, man, this is very exciting. I can't wait to talk about that. We've got to talk about so many things. Thank you to all of our subscribers at Patreon. Anyone that subscribes to our podcast at patreon.com, you get bonus episodes, previews to the live shows. I actually got to meet one of our guys up in Vancouver, which was very awesome, came to a show there at the Yuck Yucks.
Cool.
So go to patreon.com, come to Papa, and become a subscriber and enjoy all of the benefits. We are out on tour. There are lots of dates coming up. We just had great shows at the Boston City Winery, Yuck Yucks, the City Winery in Chicago. We had two great shows. Those people are so great.
Yeah.
At that venue. That
Indianapolis.
Place, I wish I could play there every week.
Yeah, that was like, the people are like too nice where you just want to, we could do like a residency at the Chicago Winery.
The best. It's so great being in that town, and that place is just run so great. The people care. They make you feel welcome, and the crowds are just, you know, Chicago crowds are pretty badass. Not that the crowds in Oregon aren't that great. I'm heading up there to Bend, Oregon on April 12th. It's like in the middle of the woods somewhere, and I think I've sold 20 tickets so far. So if you know anybody near there, I'm headed there. I'm headed to Estee Park in Colorado, the Stanley Hotel, which is where they did The Shining.
Ooh.
They'll be doing new... it's a new comedy venue, and I'm going to be doing two shows there in April. Springfield, Massachusetts, Halifax, Nova Scotia, San Francisco, Irvine, Phoenix, D.C., Plymouth, New Hampshire. Summer shows, big summer shows in Beverly, Massachusetts, Bay Harbor in Michigan, Boise, Idaho. There is a lot coming up, a lot of shows. Go to TomPapa.com. And look it all up. And, of course, we have the book, Your Dad Stole My Rake, is getting close to coming out. We're going to be doing online book signings, live tour events. Jim Gaffigan and I are doing an event at the Union Square Barnes & Noble. So lots of good stuff going on. Go to TomPapa.com for all of that stuff. So you are about to take off on a boat.
No, I'm just flying to Tahiti.
You're flying to Tahiti.
Straight.
How long a trip is that?
It's 8 hours.
Not bad.
On Air Tahiti Nui.
One of the benefits.
And then I'm in a hotel. I'm in Hotel Papeete. That's the name of the city. Papeete.
I'm sure it's not pronounced that way, but
it is. That's the capital of Tahiti, Papeete. It's French Polynesia. So you have all these island people speaking French. It's the weirdest thing ever.
So you fly straight to Tahiti.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm there for 2 days. I do one show.
What is Tahiti all about? Is it Hawaii? Is it another Hawaii?
No, it's like anytime you see those bungalows over the water, that's what Tahiti is.
With the blue little purple water
and the guy in the canoe that brings you your breakfast. That's what Tahiti is. And for people that are happy, that's like the dream. And people that are disturbed, they always think about tsunamis. And
sure.
And I was listening to Dax Shepard. I guess his wife was in that couples retreat movie, so he was in Bora Bora.
Uh-huh.
And he ended up like wanting to swim to one of those islands.
Uh-huh.
And he said he swam, it was a lot longer than he thought, and he got to this island and it was just all feral pit bull dogs.
So, oh my God.
So he said he was like, he swam for like an hour, and then he would get chased by a dog, and then like swim to the next little island, and the same thing happened. And he said he just did that for like 6 hours, and he was like sunburned.
Oh my God. That is terrible.
So I'm not going off the beaten path.
No. So there are no like straight up, there's no like cities. It's just these little.
Papeete is the capital of Tahiti.
Okay.
It's French Polynesia.
French Polynesia.
And the most known, like, I think Marlon Brando had, like, an island, one of those islands, like, owned a Tahitian island.
Right.
And but the big one is Bora Bora. That's the most famous one.
Bora Bora is one of the...
That's part of French Polynesia. Yep. Tahiti.
Okay. Where is it?
Tahitian Treat. You don't remember that?
So it... Tahitian Treats.
Yeah, that was the... It's like the first Hawaiian Punch. You don't remember that?
Oh, yeah. How far is Tahiti to Hawaii? So it's probably 3 hours.
It's far. It's well, like...
I mean, it's five to... From L.A., it's 5,000? It's 5 hours.
Oh, to Hawaii, Hawaii, yeah. The flight... This is direct LAX to Tahiti is 8 hours and 20 minutes. So I leave. That's what I didn't know. I thought I wasn't leaving till next week, but I'm leaving Saturday night, which is St. Patrick's Day.
Great timing.
I'm leaving at 5 o'clock and I get there at 10 o'clock. So I'll be there for like the evening.
Now, when you get there, this is just, you're just going to... hang out? Are you doing a show?
Doing a show for this company, but I get like Saturday night, all day Sunday, and then I do the show Monday.
Wow, yeah. Really? That's sweet.
Was better. I thought I wasn't leaving until like Sunday or Monday.
You're almost in Australia.
Yeah, it's almost to New Zealand is the closest one. Usually that's like people who go to Auckland, New Zealand. Did you ever see that on the little... I always see that on the destinations, Auckland, and I didn't know where... That's New Zealand, so that's like the big city.
Okay.
So a lot of people stop there on their way to New Zealand, because I think...
Is there a chance... What's the population there? There's got to be like 10 people that live there year-round.
I think 100,000,
basically, you
maybe?
Leave... You're kind of parallel to... South America, it's more like if you were to go to Brazil and go straight into the ocean,
yeah,
halfway between there and Australia, that's where you'll be. You're basically just on this tiny little island in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, it's nowhere.
That's exciting.
And that's I heard in the thing, Jimmy Kimmel was obsessed with tsunami, and it was like when that when it actually happened. He saw that, like, remember it was in Japan? They had, like, a tsunami or something?
Yeah.
And then, so he was, like, checking it on the website, and they had alerts, and they got everybody in boats and everything like that. And then when it happened, it was, like, a little wave, and then it was over.
Oh, that was it?
Because scientists know, they know when it's going to happen, but they don't know how big it's going to be. So,
right.
Especially if you're on this little island, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the weird thing is like Hawaii's, it's volcanoes, like all these little places you have to live with the terror of.
Like, yeah, I know, but that's, you know, there's terror everywhere, right? I mean, you're either, you know, you're in Oklahoma and you're worried that the hurricanes are going to come through, the tornadoes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody has their thing.
Or are you an island guy?
Some places don't really have
them. But could you just stay on an island and not worry about getting to mainland or feeling
isolated? I would not be scared, but I would be I'd go a little crazy.
Isolated?
Yeah, I think so.
You don't think you'd be the guy playing hacky sack by the beach and trying to pick up some French, talk to the girls?
Oh, I'm not saying I wouldn't have a wonderful 5 days. You'd be like Tom Cruise in Cocktail, just hanging out down there and trying to have sex with women who have left their husband and coming down on the island.
Learn how to make baguettes.
The thing is, when they go to an island and they divorcees and they have some money and they go down to the island and they just want to like be anonymous and be crazy and have sex with some guy. We're not the guys they're thinking of.
Yeah.
They're thinking of the dark-skinned, muscular men who are working on the
bellman at the hotel.
Yeah.
The pool boy.
Right. Who's also runs a catamaran. And they're not going to go all the way to the middle of the ocean to be with a slightly older version of the husband they just left.
As Warren Zevon once said, she's off with the hula hula boys, and she don't care about me.
Yeah, that's we're not the island fantasy.
Well, that's the thing. I always get fascinated with, like, okay, Hawaii is, like, reasonable to be a getaway. Like, for, you know, like Willie Nelson and Woody Harrelson and guys like that,
yeah,
like that to relax. But Tahiti is like, you're going all the way to get away from something. You're either, yeah, running away from something, or you're just done with the world, or you have enough money that you don't even have to do anything else.
Well, you know, these are all bigger, like, lifestyle things. What you're doing, just getting on a plane and going and get to experience it and be in these huts and be there for a couple days even, is so great. I mean, that's,
yeah,
you know, you're going to be warm. You're going to be filled with sunshine. The fish are going to be insane. You should scuba. You should snorkel around.
Yeah, it's going to freak me out.
You've never snorkeled?
A little. I did it once, and I saw a moray eel, and it freaked me out. And I think it's their world down there. We shouldn't be messing around that much.
I am not a water sports guy. I do not have any appeal. No, there's no appeal to me when it comes to whitewater rafting,
mm-hmm,
cruise ships, jet skis. It's all, I don't enjoy any of it.
See, I do like jet skiing though.
Nah, that's terrible. A jet ski is a horrible thing.
No, but if you do like a jet ski tour of, I did it in Bermuda, I did a couple of these little islands, it's really cool because you just do like a guided like circle,
right,
around it.
I understand the access. I just don't like, you know, it's like the leaf blower of the sea. It's like you have this beautiful sea and this beautiful, pristine beach, and then some douche on a jet ski,
right,
all liquored up, wow, wow, starts crashing through the scene.
Yeah,
that's, I don't know. They seem trashy to me. I do get that, you know, it's a great way to slip in.
Just to, like, see it, especially now that you can get, like, a GoPro or something.
How about a nice little kayak? How about a nice little kayak? No one, it's like the Tesla of jet skis.
Yeah, and then you get all these jet ski guys that whiz by and flip you over.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of any of that. But I like low impact. Mm-hmm. Low impact activity.
You like those paddle boat, the... When you what are those things?
Two people on a paddle boat. I stayed in this horrible place in Hawaii. It was on the Big Island, and it was like a dumb developer's idea of paradise, and just put this giant concrete hotel on what was a beautiful peninsula, and it was so big that they created their own lagoon. Like the surf around the island was really rough. You really couldn't really go out there. So I guess for the tourists, they decide, well, we're just going to steal a little of the water and put it in the middle of the hotel in our own private lagoon.
Oh, geez.
So the water would come in and fill it up. And there were captured dolphins.
What?
You could swim with the dolphins, which you're not really swimming with the dolphins. You have them trapped in your lagoon.
Yeah.
And then these big, fat, white people just going in there with their boat shoes and harassing them. And the space was as big as this room. It was terrible. And then the lagoon was filled with jackasses in those paddle boats.
Yeah.
Just, you know, 2- and 4-seaters. Sitting there with their paddle boat going around in circles in this smelly, still, basically like a country club pond.
Yeah.
Ugh. It was like, what are we doing?
Wow.
Like, why are we like taking this beautiful place and putting our stupid ass resort ideas onto the landscape? It was horrible.
Yeah, that's weird, because Big Island is so beautiful, and it's usually, beautiful, like, untouched, you know? Like, there's still lava, like, going into the ocean and everything. It's,
yeah,
like,
this was dumb. And oh, it was, man, like, a train that had to take you from one part of the resort to the other. It was, like, everything that's wrong with overdevelopment on that stuff. But, so I like the low impact. So while you're there, I would get a little snorkel and some fins. You just got to float on your belly. You kick every once in a while, keeps you up, and you just hover there with the fish.
Yeah, this is a type of place that there's no restrictions, you know what I mean? Like, there's just, like, two teenage kids that are, like, renting you the snorkel, and they just say, yeah, just go out there.
Yeah.
And then you step on a sea urchin or something.
You gotta do that. That'll be great. Do you have a swim shirt?
Swim shirt? What do you mean?
You should go to Vans. It's like a nylon kind of shirt.
Uh-huh.
You and your white ass. Really? I mean, you don't have to work. You know, you're gonna be by yourself. No one's gonna be putting lotion on your back. You just put on like a surf shirt. It's like a short sleeve. You know, pretty form fitting. Very breathable.
Yeah.
Material. And so you can go out in the water and not have to worry about the sun for hours.
Right.
You should go.
You should remind me.
You should make a stop there at Van Surf Shop anyway. This is an opportunity to get some cool surf stuff.
Get those shoes. Because you know how they always sell those shoes that you can walk in so you don't step on the sea urchins?
Those
sea
are always sexy.
Well, they always sell like the super cheap ones.
Yeah, you really should go there. That's a cool thing. And then you get your stuff for California too. Yeah, you got to do a little snorkel.
But it's weird, though. It's 84, and it looks like it's one of those places that kind of rains around noontime every day.
84 degrees?
Yeah.
Wow. This is going to be exciting. I'm excited for you to go.
This is kind of crazy, though, because St. Patrick's Day is supposed to be like my lineage. It's supposed to be our only holiday for the Irish people.
Mm-hmm.
And every year... I forget where it was last year. Where were we last year for St. Patrick's Day?
Last year? Did we perform?
the year before, I was in Vietnam.
Oh, really?
Or no, Hong Kong. I was in Hong Kong performing in an Irish bar on St. Patrick's Day. And now I'm going to be in Tahiti.
That's pretty great.
That's weird.
It is weird. An awful day to do stand-up, though.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing a show that night. I'm just, that's just when I get there. I won't even have much.
No, I mean, doing a show there would be fine, but I mean, here in the States.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not, well, you're not a, working not this week, are you?
No, I'm not doing, I'm working tonight at the Comedy Store, and that's it. Then my kids have, like, plays and a bunch of stuff. And then next week, I have the live Coming to Papa in New York.
Oh, okay.
With Carmen Lynch and Judy nice. Gold. It's going to be great. Dave Hill. Next Tuesday, so I got to bust out next Monday.
Monday,
so
yeah.
Tonight I'm just doing a little spot, and then I'm just hanging with the family until I split.
Okay, I'm gonna do Hermosa Friday, Comedy Magic, and then I leave Saturday. So
oh, nice. I when we were in Chicago, we got back after our show at like 12:30,
mm-hmm.
and I had to leave at 5.
Right,
and that hotel was literally on top of the highway. Like, when I looked down from my room, which was, like, in that corner.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, right.
Literally, the highway was running underneath me.
Because we had a balcony. It was, like,
yeah.
It was freezing. It was, like...
so cold. It was, like, I literally was sleeping in traffic. In
right.
traffic.
Yeah.
I couldn't. It was so hard to sleep.
Yeah.
Sometimes it creates white noise. I guess they were honking. I don't know what was going on. But I literally hardly slept at all. And then I got up at like 5. I think I had to be on the road at 6.
Right.
A little before 6 to get the rental car. There is nothing worse.
Yeah, I felt bad for you.
The rental car thing is... It's too much. It's too much to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and be driving a vehicle after 3 hours of sleep
and get gas and
then drop a car off and deal with the people and get on a shuttle bus and then get to the thing. That is driving a car, getting gas, getting on a shuttle bus and getting to the airport. That's more activity than anyone should do in a day.
Right.
Like, that's a full day.
They do have that thing now where it's more and more places are like, we'll drive you to the terminal because it's so stressful. Like, when you drop it off, they'll just have a guy, like, if you pay $20.
Oh, really?
They'll drive you, like, to the terminal.
I tell you, like, they're getting better at all of it. Like,
yeah.
You come in, like, there's no paperwork anymore. Some guy breaks out an iPad and boom, you're done and you're in and... It, but still, there's no way they can eliminate. I mean, we don't really rent cars that often, but there's got to be a different way. I can crawl out of the... We did 2 shows. We're on stage for 2.5 hours. And then I can crawl down to the lobby and sit in the back of a car and just like be carted into the... I can do that. This driving,
right?
I can't.
Yeah, that's what I've done so much of it lately. Is, you know, even like because we kind of had a full week, even though we only did basically 2 nights of shows.
It was a total full week.
We did the radio show.
We went to go see the great Bob and Tom radio show.
That was great.
Which was nice. I mean, these guys are legends, and the show is legendary. They're great to comedians. They're out of Indianapolis. They don't want anyone to know that because they're syndicated all around the country. I mean, every comedian in the world has gone to that show, and I've always called in and done a bunch of promos whenever I had something to promote. It was worth going in and hanging with them and having a little FaceTime. But it definitely extended the whole trip, and the whole week was... it became a week-long trip.
Because I flew in like the night before, and you know, I flew into Cincinnati, so then you fly all day, and then you drive 2 hours, then you get in the hotel, and then you do radio at 6 in the morning. That's kind of what the road is, and that's why these gigs, of course, are way better than the clubs, because the club, the whole week is like that. Like, the whole week is every day you're getting up doing that.
Yeah, it's... It was definitely long. I mean, and then before that, we had the 2 week trip. So we had two. I was gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you had
crazy
a long,
one.
Yeah,
came home for 3 days, I think, and was back out, and then came home, and then immediately for my anniversary, we went to a hotel.
Right.
For two more days.
As soon as you came back.
Right now is the first moment, and that's why we didn't put the podcast out on Tuesday, because I was coming back from that.
Oh, right.
And now, right now is the first moment I'm actually home. It's so insane. It really has been a run and a half.
Yeah.
On my way back, I, yesterday, by the way, made a little stop to see my friend Rob Zombie.
Right, yeah. So how was it?
It was cool. I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Because it's top secret. But Rob posted on Instagram that he was starting to film another first day of filming for his new movie. And I may have been there for the same reason.
4 year anniversary. That's so nice.
Let's just say, if you ever wondered what I would look like with a 70s mustache, you're going to find out.
And you're not going to keep it now?
No, I completely looked like I looked like Ned Flanders.
Oh, really?
I thought it was going to, because my hair's short.
I thought maybe you did like the goatee.
No, big ass mustache with some sideburns. And okay. I literally looked like, I was like, oh, I'm going to look like Ron Jeremy or like some, but my hair's short. So I looked more like Ned Flanders with my glasses. It was pretty funny, but it was a very cool thing to go do it. So
that's who you should have redo your tattoos. You got to talk to him.
Well, Rob wants me to go to his tattoo person,
right,
to fix him up. Which
I think that's the way to go, but you may end up with another goblin or something.
I don't have a goblin.
A devil.
I have a gnome.
But he's not going to let you do anything like...
He loves my gnome. He thinks that I should be taking my gnome. I have a tattoo on my leg, if you don't know, which was the very first tattoo I ever got. And it's somewhat of a mistake, I would say. I don't like the location. It's on my calf, which is like a cowardly place for a tattoo, I believe. I was just hesitant. I was 19. I went into this tattoo place in Milltown, New Jersey, and met with a alcoholic who ran the shop. And he put this... I just picked it off the wall. I wasn't, at that time, making the best decisions. Probably drunk most of the time. And I ended up with a gnome, a magical gnome on my leg. And, you know, is that part of the reason why I don't wear shorts? Yes. Is that why when I go to a golf course, I'll keep playing with long pants? Yes. It's a little embarrassing. Rob, my tattooed rock star friend, says, loves it and thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And that I should be embracing it. I should have t-shirts with this gnome on it. He should be on the website. He's like, why aren't you celebrating this thing? Which makes perfect sense, because it's not going anywhere. I'm not going to go get it removed.
Yeah.
You know, who cares at this point?
It was kind of fun when you're showing it at the end of the shows.
Yeah.
During that one.
Yeah, when I had the
joke
about
it. Like a year or two ago, yeah.
Yeah, probably 3 years ago.
And people were asking for it. And then, what if you got... You should get a matching one on the other leg. That would be the best thing.
That would be cool. A female gnome on
the
other leg.
Have them high-fiving, like, between your legs.
That would be hilarious. That almost makes more sense. Yeah, it's stupid.
Well, is he completely covered? He's
got
to be, right?
He's got a lot. I mean, his arms are all done. And then he... Just this year, started putting him like on his chest and stuff. He just getting bored and going for more. There is a weird thing about tattoos. And, you know, look, tattoos became trendy. I didn't, when I got them, they were, people were not getting them.
No, it was not a good world to be in. It was an underbelly of people who, I have a feeling they were better at selling meth than doing the tattoos.
Yeah.
And now there's actual tattoo, like, artists, like people, super talented people want to learn to do it.
I know, and there are TV shows, yeah. And moms have them, and children have them. And when I did it, it was me and sailors and drug addicts and murderers and gang members.
Yeah, it was for the army or prisoners or...
Right, or a gang.
Yeah.
If you were in a gang or something.
Well, I feel like even now, like probably your daughter's generation is that first generation where like nobody's getting them because...
Yeah.
Everyone above them got so many
got to seem like stupid to them.
I've just noticed that, like, even now, like, there's basketball players that don't have them. Like, the freshmen don't have them because they look at these guys, they're covered.
It's the coolest thing that to not have any.
Yeah.
That's definitely more badass than having them. And, you know, if you're Rob, you know, that's a rock star. Like, that makes perfect sense. If you're just, you know... a guy with a bunch of, it's like everybody does it. Everybody has it. And that's kind of like, you know, I felt, it's how I felt about REM back in the day. I had this little cassette. No one knew who they were.
Right.
I thought I was cool. Then everybody was into them and it wasn't as cool anymore. That's how I feel about my silly tattoo.
Well, the funny thing is, like, especially Rob, because I just saw that documentary, like, he's totally himself now. Like, he still looked like kind of just a kid who was kind of searching for a look. And now, like, he's him and he's
going to
look
like that. Always had the dreads.
A little bit, but still looked like he was trying a little bit too hard to, like, pull something off. And now, like, you see him, like, it is weird how most of these, especially as people get famous, like, all these guys look better. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it's really true.
Once you make money.
And once you have like an idea of who you are, when you're just starting out, you're just confused and trying to figure it all out.
But every talk show host gets better looking or loses weight or gets more hair.
Yeah.
Like,
It's weird. So I think I'm going to, I would like to, there is something about them that makes you want to get some more and add to them and do silly things.
But only when you're around him. You don't live in the Rob Zombie world 24 hours a day, Tom.
Oh, you think it's his influence that makes me feel that way?
You're around somebody like, I could be like him. And it's like, no, you can't. He's Rob Zombie.
Well, I have my wife's name on my arm, and I always wanted to add my daughter's names to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not so much, you know, I'm not thinking I'm Rob. I'm just thinking I'd like to add those names.
And then that's just to remember so you don't confuse them. you should ask your daughters before you go that step. They want their name on your arm.
I thought, weren't we going to get tattoos? We were going to do it somewhere.
You're going to get a loaf of bread on your...
Oh, yeah, I was going to
put... Tramp stamp.
I was going to get two loaves of bread put on both my love handles.
Yeah, I've been researching. That's why I've just been asking people at shows and stuff like that, because it is really funny what people are getting now. They're getting better. There's definitely people getting worse tattoos, but there's definitely some cooler ones out there.
You... should get one in Tahiti.
Right.
A real tribal one, like from a guy with a stick and a hot poker.
Well, I think I should get one of those fake ones and come back and then just have it last a week and then it washes off with soap and water. Yeah, they do have, that's like the place where it's kind of like Samoan almost, too. Like, the Samoan Islands are pretty close, so there's a lot of...
Yes,
like,
those guys know tattoos.
Moana. The Rock. So wait, how was the rest of your trip, though? You went to go... you went to Phoenix to rush... That's why you're in the rental car. You rushed to the airport.
That was a long day.
And you got to Phoenix, and you're doing the live from here.
We had the live from here from Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
So,
with Bobcat Goldthwait.
No hotel room. I just go right to the theater.
Oh, no way.
Go right to the theater, helped out with the sketches and everything, and then we went up on stage. I did my live from here monologue.
Yeah, it was great. I heard it.
Oh, cool.
I just was getting to the airport when it was coming on, so I heard like the Bobcat intro and then your part and then the Wood Brothers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. It was a really cool show, really cool building. It was this building that was a Frank Lloyd Wright design. It's like this amazing architectural masterpiece.
It wasn't the circular one, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's where
Gramage Theater. Gamage.
Oh, I'm trying to think. That. There's one of them that's where Carlin did the seven dirty words thing.
Oh,
like
really?
The circle in the round.
It's not in a round.
Oh, okay.
The building is a circle outside.
Oh, I see. I see.
Inside is a normal proscenium.
Yeah, that sounds probably better.
Really cool. Really fun. And the show was great. And then it was cool because we were done at, like 6 o'clock. And there's a whole bunch of us from L.A. So we just all jumped on the same flight.
Oh, cool.
Which is cool because you're so used to traveling by yourself everywhere.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you got some friends and a couple of hours to kill in the airport and eating nachos and getting on this flight to Burbank. And, yeah, it was really cool. It was
really fun. Did go to Burbank because I think...
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to LAX like a little bit before you, and then it started raining.
Oh, yeah.
So I was wondering if your flight got in okay.
Yeah, no, it was fine. And the live from here, those shows are getting so, so good, so, so powerful. And we're off for the next couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
and then we start up again in Minnesota, and then I think New York and... couple different spots.
Nice. How are the Wood Brothers? They sounded great.
They were really cool.
Yeah,
really cool. They were good. I really didn't know them.
Yeah, sometimes they play a little slower, but they had some. They were jamming. They were going right into it. They sounded good.
Yeah, they were really good. And this other girl, who I'd never heard before,
I think I heard one of her songs.
Phoebe Bridgers.
Okay.
Really cool. Really cool band. And it was funny, some people from her band, she's going to be huge, I think, by the way. I think she's going to explode. Phoebe Bridgers. And her bass player is friends with Martin Diller, who always would do the band Come to Papa at Largo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we do the West Coast version, which we have not done in I think a year, which we really should do.
Yeah, it's
a lot easier than flying to New York to do the Come to Papa. It was like this little musical. It's so funny to like tap into the musical scene. These guys all know each other, and everyone
yeah.
you forget like it's not just comedians out here running around trying to get shit done. It's a whole bunch of musicians, and they have their own world and own. And friendships and stuff similar to what we're doing.
And the crazy thing is even, I think it was even Rob said in that documentary, is like, if somebody is a good guitar player, everybody knows who he is. Like, you always think, like, there's so many people out there, nobody's going to know. It's like, everybody knows who the good bass players are. Everybody knows who the good drummers are.
Yeah.
It overlaps.
Yeah, completely.
So, like, I'm sure you're going to run into, like, people, especially Chris probably knows everybody, right?
Oh, yeah, completely. It's pretty remarkable. So I have a little sad news that Yankees opening day.
Oh, yeah.
Is April 2nd.
April 2nd.
I had it in my calendar for a full year, thinking I can't wait to go to opening day. I never miss opening day. Last year was the first time I missed opening day in, I think, 6 years. So excited. Had it in my calendar after our wonderful season last year. I was like, this off season seemed super short because we're so excited to have new hope.
Yeah.
As every team does, but I feel like the Yankees have even more hope.
Yankee Nation is nonstop.
And it's just, it doesn't matter what what team you're rooting for. It's a hopeful time of year. It's spring. It's hopeful. It is the next day after Easter. Easter is on April 1st this year. I have family coming for Easter. I have Easter with my my daughters and my wife and my trusty dog, Bella. I can't make the game if I am getting on a plane on the next day. I would have to leave everybody and bail out on Easter to make opening day.
Right.
Horrible planning, Yankee Stadium.
Well, I guess they're thinking that everybody has the weekend off or something.
And they're also catering to everybody that lives in New York and New Jersey.
Yeah.
But I live in California, and I'm not going to be able to go.
You just made me think of something, too. I think, because I'm doing the Comedy Store in La Jolla that weekend. So basically, I fly back from, I didn't tell you, I get to go to Hawaii for a couple days, too.
What the hell is going on?
So I fly back from Hawaii on Thursday.
Come on.
And then Friday, Saturday, I'm in La Jolla at the Comedy Store. And then it says I have a show April 1st. So that's Easter Sunday.
On Easter Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
You should not have a show.
Yeah.
But maybe you should to get your game straight. What do you mean? You're going to be in Tahiti and Hawaii. You have no skin pigment. You should not. You've got to go get a. You got to go to Vans after this and get a and get your surf gear.
I'm just gonna get a visor and.
That's ridiculous! Wow, Hawaii. I want to go there this summer. Damn it.
Well, I think I got to break. Well,
I don't even want to talk about it. I'm too aggravated.
Well, have you been to Hilo or no?
What's Hilo?
It's an island. I got. That's where I'm flying to.
That's not an island.
I go from Hilo to Honolulu.
You're being kidnapped by Samoans.
Maybe.
You are. That is not a thing.
It's one of those planes with like the, doesn't have the wheels. It just has those skis on it.
Yeah, exactly. So no, so I can't make Yankee Stadium. And, but then I was thinking maybe what I try and do with my family that's going to be out here is hit the Dodger Stadium. I've got to hit baseball somewhere.
Well, you
it's
could
the
just
new
watch
season,
it.
And it'll be beautiful here. You know, it's not, you know, there have been many opening days in New York when you're, I was there in my ski boots.
Well, could you just watch it? Watch Yankee game from here?
Yes, but it's not the same. Walking into the ballpark, the sunshine, the green grass, the smell of hot dogs, being with the other fans. Just the sounds and the sights, it makes you feel like spring has come. And you can get that on TV to some degree, but not it's not the same.
Can we do this? Can we go to Dodger Stadium and just sit like in the bleacher seats and watch the Yankee game? on our iPhones?
I don't know. I think I'm going to try and – I got to go to Dodger Stadium. I think that's what I got to try and do. I think I have to try and get to a ballpark, and then I'll hit Yankee Stadium when I get back there. But for the love of God, here's another thing, and now this is going to sound crazy, but I'm going to bring it up because I'm being teased by people, and I actually had a dream about it last night.
Okay.
As you know, Bruce Springsteen is playing on Broadway. You and I had this discussion as you were telling me that you're not that into Bruce Springsteen while you were wearing a Bruce Springsteen t-shirt. He is one of the great artists of our time. He's created a ton of stuff. He's a powerful guy. I've like him more than you do, I'll admit. But everybody is saying that him on Broadway solo with him and his guitar going through his stories and playing his songs and doing the thing is a mind-blowing show.
Yeah, and you're from New Jersey, Tom. That's why you can't hide it.
I am Jersey proud.
You have to love Bruce Springsteen.
We had our horrible era of Chris Christie, that tub of lard that embarrassed the state, that disgusting, exploitive individual that embarrassed us all. But other than that speed bump, New Jersey's a great place and has a lot of great stuff to it. And Bruce Springsteen is one of the things that comes from there. So does Jack Nicholson. So does Meryl Streep. There's a lot of great people that come from New Jersey. Bruce is playing. They extended it through June. It was supposed to be over this month, but they've extended it through June. Here's the problem. Tickets are incredibly expensive.
Insane.
Insane.
As with anything on Broadway. That's why regular people don't go.
It's right.
That's hundreds of dollars.
You can't go to...
Hamilton. I still haven't seen Book of Mormon.
That you should be able to afford.
Well, now, 5 years later...
Still a great play.
Yeah, and like the ninth lead guy is doing it now. Like the guy who starred in it is like... 60 years old now. The fifth understudy.
It won't be. Yeah, but it'll still be good. Tickets. I'll be there next week with a Wednesday with nothing to do.
Right.
I'm doing a corporate show on Thursday. Me and the great Will Smith.
Oh, cool.
Are doing a show together.
Nice.
And then on Tuesday, I'm doing the live Come to Papa show. Wednesday is this little opening. Do I take all of my money and or just a credit card and spend stupid money to go see Bruce Springsteen? Could it possibly be worth going into debt?
Wait, what day is this?
Wednesday the 21st.
By yourself?
I would go completely alone. I can't get two tickets.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. That's the best way to do it.
Totally. I'm not there for conversation. If I'm not there with my wife, I'm not, you know, looking for the experience. I'll just go solo.
But also, like, it means a lot to you. Like, I've done that for, like, a lot of other people don't like Elvis Costello, and I'll go see him by myself.
Yeah.
It's like nobody else likes him as much as me, so I'm just going to go.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's fun to go with a group of people and drink and go to dinner and then go see the show. That's one
that's
experience.
That's like for Guns N' Roses.
I like
Roses.
Going to baseball games by myself.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. I just want to be there in the game, and I want to read a little bit and watch the game and listen to the on my earphones if I want. It's just sometimes being alone is a good call. And I feel like going to see that would be a good call. But I guess as a general question, is anything worth $800?
Yeah.
Anything.
Well,
is
I mean,
any show worth that? Hey, let's think about all the great shows you've seen. Have there been shows that were so memorable that you're going to carry them around forever?
Well, I'll give you this. There's... people for, like, the World Series when the Cubs made it were paying... Guys that don't have the money were paying $1,200, $1,000 to go. And I understand that's, like, once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Mm-hmm.
But for, you know, for a guy who's, you know, it's basically like seeing Paul McCartney, you know. He's probably 10 years past where you'd want to see him. So,
they Bruce, say... I mean, I literally have talked to people... who are, you know, in the know, and they say that it's like he's on top of his game in this kind of a venue. Like him jumping around on, you know, Giant Stadium for 3 hours, maybe
right.
He's past that. But to see him on this in this tiny theater,
yeah,
not much bigger than what we played last weekend, is they say is completely on point.
Why don't you see if you can just open for him? Just tell him you'll do 10, and then...
yeah, that would be great. I'm trying to think. The very first Broadway play I ever saw. Actually, it wasn't. Beatlemania was the first one. But the one that I really remember was Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
With Angela Lansbury and the other guy who I don't know his name. But it was the most mind-blowing, life-changing thing to see that kind of theater, that kind of passion, crazy... time traveling depth of a performance. It was, you know, and as a kid, I was just like, holy cow, I want to be anywhere near this experience in my life. I want to be in a theater. I want to be around those crazy people. I want to be involved somehow in some kind of experience that moves other people.
Yeah.
That was big. So would you pay $800 if you knew you were going to get that kind of an experience? Yeah. You would just plop down a credit card and pay it off over the next 7 years.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think you're in a position where it's like you can do that. If, like, one of the reasons I go see a lot of stuff now is because I never did when I was a kid. And it wasn't because I was begging to go. It was like, I'm not going to go pay this money to see a band in some arena.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, and there was nothing really attached to it. And then now, like, if you hear, like, we had that discussion. It was like, do you see Van Morrison for $300?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like Dylan completely disappoints people, and Van Morrison does too. And Springsteen is one of the few guys that like really doesn't.
Yeah.
Like I saw McCartney 3 years ago on my birthday in Dodger Stadium, and that was the best show I've ever seen, I think.
Yeah.
So it's definitely debatable, especially in New York. It's like, you know, a hotel room is $400. So it's like.
Right. Yeah, I know. I might do it. What I'm trying to do is use any kind of connection.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that this is the time to.
Yeah, is there anybody in my agency? Is there anybody we know that has
any fans
connection?
Of the marriage ref out there?
Anybody see me open for Seinfeld at Caesar's Palace? Anybody? Anybody like a Prairie Home Companion now live from here? Anybody want to help a brother out?
Well, that would be the big get, to get Springsteen to do live from here.
Oh, my God. Well, come on.
You don't think he'd do that? He plays these dumpy bars in New Jersey just for fun?
Never.
Come on.
Not a chance.
I guarantee he would do it.
I guarantee you he would not.
If you had little Steven, if you brought little Steven in and he saw what's going on with your show and he's like, hey, maybe I'll get Bruce to come down here sometime. You don't think that happens? You're
in 10 years.
What?
In 10 years, when he's waddling around the stage like John Prine and what's his face?
Well, no, but I'm just
Randy
talking.
Randy Newman.
I'm talking about when your show's in New York. He's doing New York every night. He just like comedians. Oh, did you hear who's playing down the street? Blah, blah, blah. Maybe I can stop in. Plug in the amp.
No way.
What?
No way. It's rehearsal. It's coming in. It's all that stuff.
That should be your thing. Tell your scouting for Live From Here. See if this kid's any good.
I want to see if you have anything. If you got anything.
See, you got some moxie?
Yeah. That would never happen. But look, I have to try and exploit all my show business connections and see if I can't get to that show next Wednesday. That would be pretty great.
Well, have you looked? Do you want me to check?
I looked on StubHub this morning, and it's embarrassing to even talk about. The most affordable ticket is $800. If you sit in the orchestra, it's $3,000. $3,000.
Well, Yankee Stadium.
That's a family vacation.
Yeah, Yankee Stadium opening day is $100.
That's if you don't have connections. I have connections at Yankee Stadium with my beautiful girlfriend, Debbie. But I have no connection in this Broadway Bruce Springsteen world. What would be worth that kind of... Okay, so other than the Sweeney Todd thing, when I was a child, what... every other show I've been to, they were great. They were fun. But I don't know if it's like that life-changing. And you know what's going to happen... You know what he's going to do at the end of this?
Do it again.
He's going to do it for HBO.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
But still, you want to be there.
So I had a dream about him last night.
Oh, jeez. Well, maybe you shouldn't go then. You going to bring a sign?
I think it must have been on my mind. But I was in a bar in New York, and I was talking to Bruce, and he said to me, that he's thinking of when the show's over, he's going to travel cross country. He's going to drive cross country because he hasn't done it in years.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, the last time I did it was when I was with my wife, then girlfriend, and we went by motorcycle. And we, for 5 weeks, we toured the country. And, which is true. And he said, this is the goofy part. He said, do you know why you were on the run? And I said, no, Bruce, why? And he said, because you had lost her brown eyes and your smile. Wasn't that deep?
No, I thought he was going to say, because you were born to run.
Well, I think that's what my dream was kind of alluding to. I lost her brown eyes and my smile. That's a pretty good line.
Yeah, write it down.
Maybe I could tell him I have a line for him and see if he'll let me
write
in.
Write it on a sign.
And yeah, so me and Bruce were hanging in a bar in my dream.
Okay.
Maybe it's meant to be.
Well, I'll tell you, as of this week, Hamilton tickets,
yeah,
$800.
Still? I saw those for free.
Springsteen this Thursday, 24 tickets left from $600.
What?
Yeah.
On what, StubHub?
Yep.
Holy cow.
So my
$600?
Yeah.
Why didn't I see that?
Well, that's for this week.
Maybe next week is a different thing.
You're talking about, okay, so this place,
I'm
basically
so excited. We're bringing back the joke segment today.
Uh-oh. It's the Walter Kerr Theater.
Yes.
It looks like there's an orchestra center, which obviously people are going to be standing up.
I was wondering about that. Will they be standing up?
Yeah, of course. Hmm. That's the whole thing.
You're
going to
stand up during his, like, this is when I was in New Jersey. I wrote this song.
It's going to be a lot of talking, yeah.
My father was, we never really got along. He was had his own thing. He was working real hard and didn't have time. And I was out there doing my thing, too. Are people going to stand during that?
I think so. I think it's...
You're going to stand for... No, I think they're going to be sit.
Here's what I say,
Tom. They're rich old people spending $3,000 on a ticket.
But you're by yourself, so you can weasel...
So I'm the only guy standing, like
no,
the weird guy.
No, you weasel your way into whatever spot is there. That's the one time you can do that.
I just start wandering around the theater?
There's going to be a rich guy that leaves early. There's going to be a rich guy that doesn't show up.
You think there's intermission?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
That's the whole problem, is he just keeps playing, right? He just won't stop once he starts.
Yeah.
Or what about this? What about Tom Papa scalping, picking up a ticket on the way in?
Yeah. That might be something.
Hanging out.
Then I got to have cash. Scalpers don't take credit cards. Okay, you know, a lot of people talk about us being comedians, and they always want jokes from us. And they're always saying, why don't you have a joke? Why aren't you funny? Why don't you tell me a joke? And this is why, because the jokes out there stink. And we're going to tell you some of them, because it's that part of the show where we tell you horrible jokes. And this is good for everybody. It makes our act seem much better.
And if you join Patreon now, you can actually keep us from telling more jokes. If you pay money to keep Tom from telling more jokes, that should be one of the Patreon options. You get the episodes without the jokes.
You want to go first, or should I?
You can go, since you got them ready.
This is a lawyer joke.
Uh-oh.
What's the difference between a dead cat on the road and a dead lawyer on the road?
I don't know.
A dead cat has skid marks around it. Get it?
Because they killed him on purpose?
Yeah.
The lawyer?
My first thought was skid marks like duty, but it's not. This is a funny line. If you can't find a lawyer who knows the law, find a lawyer who knows the judge. Kaboom-pchink. Kapow-kunk. This is a medium-sized joke I've never read before. A doctor, a lawyer, and an architect were arguing about whose dog was the smartest, so they agreed to stage a contest. Okay, Rover. It shows how old the joke is. Rover. That was actually a dog's name for a while. Okay, Rover, said the architect, and Rover trotted over to the table and in 5 minutes had constructed a perfect scale model of a cathedral out of toothpicks. Pretty impressive, everyone agreed, and the architect gave Rover a cookie. Hit it, Spot, ordered the doctor, and Spot lost no time in performing an emergency cesarean section on a cow, delivering a healthy twin calf in less than 3 minutes. Not bad, the observers concurred, and Spot got a cookie from the doctor. Your turn, fella, said the lawyer. So fella trotted over, screwed the other two dogs, took their cookies, and went out to lunch. That's pretty good, right?
It's a long way to go for that.
For a dog-on-dog attacking joke.
Took a dirt road to get to that one. there once was a street named Chuck Norris. They had to change the name because no one crosses Chuck Norris and lives.
Oh, I like that one. So bad.
There is no good jokes.
They're all terrible. This is a random one. I always am hesitant to go into random one because most of them end up being racist.
Yeah, that's also the problem, is that these are all, they're almost all racist.
Well, that used to be funny back in the day when people didn't write and hated and were racist. Jersey and Lativa were bored one day and decided to go to the zoo and taunt the gorillas, as one does.
Yeah.
As they made faces at the apes, they didn't notice that one of the animals was getting quite turned on by Latvia's smile. All of a sudden, the ape reached through the bars, grabbed hold of Latvia's arm, and pulled her into the cage. What should I do? Screamed Jersey as the gorilla tore at her skirt. I don't know. Tell him what you tell me all the time, that you have a headache. Oh, we may have just found the worst joke of all time.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That is a sex headache joke from the 1940s.
Bestiality.
Dressed up as a gorilla. Oh, my God. You want some Henny Youngman jokes?
Yeah, I got one. See if this is funny. Why shouldn't you write with a broken pencil?
Why?
Because it's pointless.
That's pretty good.
That's bad. These are all dad jokes.
My wife and I were happy for 20 years. Then we met.
Ah.
Ba-dum-bum.
What's brown and sticky?
A ball of dog shit in your hand.
A stick. I don't know if these are Finnish jokes.
All right. This is from the internet. These are 20 jokes that'll make anybody laugh.
Okay.
Absolutely anyone.
It's a lot of buildup.
What's a duck's favorite snack?
I don't know.
Cheese and quackers. I got you. Well, I once saw a camel with no humps. His name was Humphrey. Humphrey. What did the pirate say as he turned 80?
R.
I matey. I'm 80.
I get it.
What did the green grape say to the purple grape? Breathe. How does Jesus make tea? He brews it. He brews it.
I get it. What kind of ghost has the best hearing?
Oh, what kind?
The eeriest.
What do you call a magic dog? a labracadabrador.
Oh, yeah. I think I said that one before. That one's pretty good.
There was an explosion at a cheese factory in France. Debris everywhere. Do you know the breeze of cheese?
Yes. It should be La Brie.
So much fun. So funny. This is a classic. You know this one. Everyone knows this one. How do you make a tissue dance?
I don't know.
Put a little boogie in it.
Oh, God.
These are pretty funny. Did you hear about the circus that went up in flames the other day? It was intense. Why does Snoop Dogg always carry an umbrella? For drizzle. These are really making you laugh. I like these.
Because they're so bad. You gotta tell.
What do you call a deer with no eyes? No idea. These are good ones today. I'm telling you, Mommy, we are on fire. All right, we got to wrap up. That's our show for today. We've got to plan out what the hell is going to happen over the next 2 weeks because Paul is going to be living in Tahiti. So we got to figure out what the hell is going to happen. You're here the rest of this week, though.
Yeah, I leave Saturday.
You leave Saturday. Okay, today is what, Wednesday?
Wednesday.
We're going to have to do one on Thursday or Friday for the subscribers.
Right.
Before you leave. So we'll have to reboot. Subscribers, you'll get the bonus podcast Thursday or Friday, probably Friday, not sure.
And when do you leave again?
I don't leave until Monday.
Oh, Monday, okay.
So we'll bang one out, maybe we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
This is all housekeeping. But for the subscribers, know that your bonus podcast will be coming out by the end of the week.
Sounds good.
Sounds good? All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. Enjoy your life.